He's able, He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted and He sets the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and He caused the blind to see. He's able, He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. What else is He able to do? He can carry you through.
Amen.
What else can He do for you?
Heal your broken heart.
Heal your broken heart.
Make His presence known to you.
Make His presence known. I heard.
Just listen to all day long.
Praise the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord, we have those advantages, really. I'm serious. I'll get on and look up, Dave Young or Rich Tozier or my brother-in-law or whoever it may be. I might even look up Mike Ferris sometimes. But anyway, just listen to guys that know how to preach God's word. It is a blessing. I mean, if John had a podcast, I'd listen to him. Okay, maybe not. Maybe I'm just lying. All right, just take a minute to shake a few hands. Don just walked in. He's late. Now you got to embarrass him by going back and shaking his hand. All right. What's that?
I didn't ask you how you're doing.
Good.
Good. You've had a long day, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, you can go ahead and make your way back to your seats. And in just a moment, we'll look at our missionary letter. I want to go over some announcements that you do not have in front of you. But a reminder to the men, if you are interested, next Friday and Saturday, there is a special meeting there at Hopes Point Baptist, where Dan Vaughn pastors. John Van Gelderen is one of the keynote speakers, and then a gentleman by the name of Steve Proctor from Poplar Bluff, Missouri. He pastored Westwood Baptist Church for 30 years. These are the keynote speakers for Friday and Saturday. It's based on the men's prayer advances, so they have breakout sessions. Some local pastors are going to be doing some sessions, and I'm only going Friday because we have outreach the next day here. But if you're interested, if you're just walking in, you can do that. It's $25 for Friday night, or if you go Saturday, it's $25. If you want to do both, it's $39. So obviously you get a break with that. But that is next weekend. So if you're interested, there's only one sign-up list. That is downstairs. And I had all this written out Sunday, and I went right past that announcement. So I'm telling you tonight. So that's next weekend. Also, just want to remind you that the funeral calling hours for Brother Larry Craig from Bible Baptist Temple will be at Amos Carvelli tomorrow from 5 to 7. I mentioned him, even though he's not part of our church family. He has been instrumental here teaching our teachers in workshops. He's been here working with our children. Of course, very big with CEF and getting the Good News Clubs into these local schools. He's been a big part of that. Tremendous man. The funeral service for Brother Craig is at Bible Baptist Temple at 11 o'clock on Friday morning. There will be, his body will lie in state from 9 to 11. So if you are able to go by, And I know some of you know him, so I just wanted to mention that to you. This Sunday is an important day because we have two special things. Our missionary, Jason Woon, will be here. He will be teaching a combined class for the adults and teens here at 9:30. He will be going over the update on his field. And then at 11 or 10:30, he'll be preaching for us. And then right after that, we'll assemble over in the Family Life Center. We're going to be having a cover dish dinner in honor of Vicki Hunniford. The following Saturday, she moves to the state of Tennessee. So if you saw Vicki down here Sunday morning, you saw her boo-hooing. She's really taking this hard. She loves this church.
Amen.
Just loves this church. And, you know, it makes you feel good, you know, to know that you folks have had such a very, very positive impact on her. And she hates to leave, but it really is for the best. So anyway, I just want to make the day special, especially that time. So some of you are not inclined to stay. Can I encourage you, make something that you can eat. And just come in at least for a few minutes and just spend some time with her. So again, I know people have special diets, and after you've been through Bible study hour and in the morning service, while it's getting kind of late, just take at least a few minutes to come in and just to fellowship with her. Fellowship with Brother Woon. He's one of our really powerful missionaries.
Amen.
So I really encourage you to be here for that time on Sunday as well. And then on September 15th, we have a church-wide business meeting after the 5 o'clock service. And again, as I mentioned Sunday morning, I need you on deck. I need you to be here. This is your church. Well, it's God's church, but you are the church family, and this is your business. So you need to be here for that meeting on Sunday evening. We are looking at making one change to the bylaws, and so we have to have a certain amount of members here. So please do everything in your power to be part of that. And then the last Saturday of the month, the 28th, we do have a church work day. So this will especially involve men. We are going to focus on three or four special projects. We have men who are going to head those up. They're organizing them. They'll have the supplies here so that you come in and get right to it. And I think these projects are things that must be done, but also should go relatively quickly. So that is coming up. And then, of course, this Saturday is men's prayer time. So men, if you're able, we'll meet you here in the Nisa room at 9 o'clock as we do each month. And we're moving our outreach up 1 week from the 21st to the 14th. So keep that in mind as well. All right. Would you like me to quit with the announcements? Yes, Pastor. Okay, I'll quit then. All right. Our missionary letter tonight is our missionary's former staff here, our youth pastor from years ago, Bruce, and his wife, Lisa. Of course, you already know they were missionaries for a number of years in Mexico City. So it began several years ago. I was invited to attend a conference on international theological education with another mission agency. The keynote speaker for the conference was a curriculum and faculty development consultant for seminaries and educational ministries throughout the Middle East. The room was filled with dozens of missionary theological educators serving in every part of the globe who were instructed, encouraged, and inspired by the conference. During one particularly challenging session, I remember looking at another Baptist missionary who attended with me as we asked each other, "Why don't we do this? Why can't we hold a seminar gathering for the BMM theological educators? Baptist Mid-Mission missionaries could benefit from this same type of ministry." Last month, during the 2024 Baptist Mid-Mission Family Conference, STEP, the Baptist Ministry Team on Strategic Theological Education Partnership, that's what STEP stands for, celebrated its first of what we hope will be many seminars on international theological education. The seminar was held on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, followed by a fellowship breakfast and workshop on Friday morning. Michael Carlisle, who served in Cambodia for many years and who is finishing his MDiv at Bob Jones in cross-cultural preaching, taught on the importance of understanding culture in a theological education ministry. Attending were some 20 missionaries who serve in BMM Theological Educational Ministries in 8 countries around the world. It was a great time of fellowship, camaraderie, encouragement, and instruction. And then you can read the rest of that. Just have you go to the back. Just something that Lisa does in addition to their ministry. This is kind of interesting. It says, aside from being privileged to serve at EBI as a missionary and in my local church as a layperson, I'm also pleased to serve my community as a PATH certified therapeutic riding instructor through our local therapy barn, Heartland Horses Equine Activities and Learning. I grew up with horses, so this dimension of my life is important to me and gives me not only the pleasure of being with horses, but also the privilege of serving the people of my community in an important and unique way. On Wednesdays, I arrive at the barn early and get the horses and arena ready for my students. All my students have some type of disability, so I have to adapt the arena for group riding session lessons. What I love about being a riding instructor is being able to have another opportunity to share the gospel and the love of Christ in a setting where families are already searching for answers and help in their lives. Not only am I able to testify of Christ to my students, but also to my volunteers and the staff at this organization as well. So I read that just because it's outside the box. And we need people to think outside the box. We don't limit our witness to going out door knocking. You take different opportunities. Billy Millis runs the Flag Football League, or so one of the main drivers of the Flag Football League here in Bridgeport. And every Saturday, he gives the gospel. And he sent me a video clip of it. I mean, just hundreds of people there, parents included, just giving the gospel. That's thinking outside the box. Our light up night and some of the other things that we do, different avenues here at the church. So if you think of something, don't hesitate. My pastor used to say, be a committee of one. If you got an idea, you do it. Don't, hey, pastor, here's a really good idea. Okay, God laid it on your heart, go do it. And I'm serious about that. If God puts something on your heart, if it's at all possible to do it, do it. So just like this is an opportunity for Lisa, you know, to share the gospel. And a lot of you know Lisa, some of you don't, but she is an outgoing, bubbly personality who I don't really think meets a stranger, and I can just kind of hear her just going right into the gospel with people and just kind of winning their hearts right off. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And now, can I say this about where the Burkholders were at now? You know, there were missionaries there in Mexico City until his heart began to fail. And so they have been in this aspect of ministry. And it's very difficult for missionaries to get support doing what they're doing.
Yes, sir.
And I'd imagine for you guys, it's the same thing. Oh, you're not going on the field to plant a church somewhere. Now, the military might be a little bit different because a lot of guys are in the military. They think differently about that. But a lot of these missionaries that aren't planting churches on some foreign field often struggle. In fact, someone just today was in contact with me and saying, we're really struggling to get support. Just like, you know, people, if you're not going to a foreign country and planting a church, it's like, we don't really have interest in this. And I get that. We want missionaries to go and plant churches, and that's tremendously important. It is, I guess, the main thing. But ministries like this, what do you do once you get them saved and you organize a church? And they don't have any Sunday school material. So that's what Bruce and his team do. They translate theological works to get them to Sunday school teachers, just like John and Brad and, you know, the different men here and ladies who teach. Who puts that material in their hands? People are faithful to the Lord to, you know, develop it. And then, of course, these who translate and stuff. So it's an important work. It's an important work. So keep these folks in mind. I hope you're praying for our missionaries by name and just thinking of them on a constant basis. All right. How many have had a good day today?
Amen.
Okay. How many have not had a good day today? It's okay if you say, I did not really have a good day today. Had a hard day. That's okay. I don't want you to complain about it, but anyway. All right, take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 13 tonight. A few weeks ago, we turned a corner in the book of Acts, where now the Gentile church is the focus. found here in Antioch of Syria. The drive of missions is really found here in this church, this Gentile church. As the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work of the ministry. And they go out. They leave Antioch there in Syria. They sail into Cyprus. They minister in two cities. They make their way north in the Mediterranean. They go into the Asia Minor region, settle in Perga. And then they take that long and really dangerous trek, ascending really about 3,600 feet to the city of Antioch, Pisidia. So they go from Antioch to Antioch. And we saw, as Paul's habit was, and this would be his habit for at least a period of time, where when he entered into a city, he would go to the synagogue. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew's Jew. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue there in Antioch, Pisidia, and began to minister. And the rabbi, the rabbi there, offered him an opportunity, really, to Barnabas and Saul to speak. And Saul, as we now call him Paul, took the opportunity to present Christ. And that's what we saw last week, or whenever it was we saw this last, there in verse 17, he begins to lay out first the history of Israel, how God had brought them out of Egypt, how God had sent them through the wilderness, how God had settled them in Canaan, how God brought the judges to rule over them and direct them for 450 years. And then he goes into the kings, speaks about Saul in verse 21. And then he focuses on David. And we know that men like Moses, men like David, these are heroes to the Jewish people. So they're all ears. And of course, he is well versed in his Jewish understanding, and he presents it this way because he has a purpose. He's going to go through that history and then the lineage through David to present one man to them, and that is Jesus, and that's exactly what he will do here. Now, we left off last week in around verse 23. Just go back to verse 22 once again. And notice these words once again. And when he had removed him, removing Saul as king, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Let's have prayer. Father, I thank you again for the privilege of being here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us halfway through this week. Lord, I know folks come in here having a long 3 days, and just they've come here to get spiritually recharged, and I'm grateful that they're here tonight. They could have, I guess, chosen to stay home, but they did not, and I'm grateful that they're here. I ask, Lord, that it would have been worth their while to be in your house, so I cannot really meet their need, but your book and your Holy Spirit can. So I just ask you'd use me, that you would speak to people here. And Lord, in every class in the Awana ministry tonight and the team ministry as well, speak to those young people tonight through your word, and we'll thank you for it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When we looked at this, we talked about the fact that David emphasized through the scripture David being a man after God's own heart. And we looked at three aspects of how you can be a person, a man or a woman after God's own heart. And one of those ways was to love his word like God loves his word. And God does love his word.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 28 and 29. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? God looks at his own word as the superior thing. We saw last week in Psalm 138, the second verse, the last part of that verse says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God magnifies his word above his own name.
Yes.
God loves this book. God has a heart for His Word. And you and I ought to have a heart for God's Word.
Amen.
The psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119, the 97th verse. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. You and I ought to be asking God on a regular basis to give us that kind of a love for His Word.
Yes.
We should be asking God. I think about the teenagers. I think about the children. When do they start to ask God for that? As soon as they come to know Him. And you, as most of you grandparents, a few parents in here, ought to encourage your children or your grandchildren to desire a love for God's Word. God said, David is a man after my own heart because he loves my Word like I love the Word. And the same thing is true about his house. We mentioned this last week. David was a man after God's own heart because he loved God's house like God loves his house. We looked at several verses again in the Psalms, Psalm 26:8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I know it's a Wednesday night and I know we're worn out. Some of you may come directly after work. That's true for a number of people that work in the Awana ministry. And we're kind of dragging on a Wednesday night. But there still, I would hope, would be a desire to be here.
Amen.
You know, the auditorium is not full. We don't have, you know, a big orchestra going. We don't have special music going. But there ought to be something that just says, you know what, I just want to hear God's Word.
Yes.
I attended Southside Baptist Church when I was in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Walter Hanford, the son-in-law of John R. Rice. We had Dr. Frank Garlock, Patch the Pirate, Ron Hamilton, had a fabulous music ministry. Church ran about 2,500. And when I was there, the music, out of this world. Just as good as any church you could ever find, no matter what denomination we're talking about. Just tremendous music ministry. But you know why I went to that church? The pastor. He would preach for about an hour. And he just spoke in conversational tones. But he was so open. He bore his heart. He bore his struggles. And he drew me in it like he would preach and then he'd be done. And I'm thinking, you've only been preaching for like 10 minutes. Oh man, he's been preaching for an hour. I loved it.
Amen.
And I'm being very serious about this. I love to hear preaching. I don't care what style of preaching is. I love preaching. I'm glad what Ashley said what she said. Man, we have such an advantage in this day and age. You don't have to wait till Sunday or Wednesday night to hear God's Word. You know, there are all kinds of good preachers.
Yes.
I mean, solid preaching from God's Word that you can listen to literally 24 hours a day.
Amen.
Probably have to get 2 hours, 3 hours sleep, but the rest of the day you listen to preaching. I'm saying we ought to have a love for God's Word like David had a love for God's Word. Ought to have a love for this house as David had a love for God's house. That's where he wanted to be. He wanted to be in God's presence. And again, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you have that kind of heart for this house. He also had a heart for God's will. God wants His will to be accomplished.
Amen.
Not just in a generic sense. I mean individually, in a personal way with you. God wants to fulfill His will for you. And you and I ought to want to fulfill God's will for our life. Not all are going to be called to be a missionary. Not all are going to be called to be a pastor. Not all are going to be called to be a deacon or a teacher in the ministry here. Listen, you may not get that call, but whatever God has called you to do, you know what you ought to do? You ought to want to do it.
Yes.
And I hope that's the case in your life. That's what David said. This is why God said, David is a man after my own heart. He loves my word like I love my word. He loves my house like I love my house. And he loves my will like I love my will. And I want to accomplish it. Psalm 40, verse 8, David said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He loved and wanted to see God's will accomplished. So when you look back at Acts 13 and that 22nd verse, and Paul stands there and preaches to this Jewish audience there in the synagogue, they can relate. Oh, yeah, the son of Jesse, David. Oh, what a hero of the Jewish faith. And he has them. He has them. Then verse 23, and now he's going to start losing some people. Verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise. And we begin to see the word promise mentioned here in this text. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And now he gets real specific. And when he said the word Jesus, they knew exactly who he was referring to. There were many men named Jesus. It was a common name. A common name. But they knew which Jesus he referred to, because news traveled. Oh, it doesn't travel as fast as it does today, but news traveled. They knew exactly who he was referring to. He was referring to that Jesus of Nazareth who had been crucified many months earlier, probably by this time, a few years ago. They knew the name. And that is obviously an offense to many Jews, as it is today. But he breaches that name. He has gone through this history of Israel. He goes through the lineage of David, in which God has promised, listen, God has promised, as we're told here, a seed that would be the Savior. And Paul proclaims that it is Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Who is that promised seed. Well, he's speaking. And at least they have enough decency not to rise up like they did when Jesus spoke in the temple or the synagogue at Nazareth and try to throw him headlong down a cliff face. At least they had enough decency to allow him to finish, and he preached the promise. God is about a promise. We see the promised seed through David. And we could look at that. I don't think we'll look at the references. But if you want to write these down, look these up later on. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16, and then verses 25 through 29. And then you can cross-reference that with Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. In fact, let's just look at that. Go back a few books to the book of Luke. Look at chapter 1 of Luke, verse 31. And then when you get finished reading that, just keep your finger in Luke 1, because we're going to go back there again. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him, notice this, the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And that's what God promised David as he sat and listened to God tell him, and you'll see this when you go back and reference 2 Samuel chapter 17. God spoke to David and said, this is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a promised seed. Your throne will never end. Yes. It'll be a continual throne, a forever throne. That was a promise that God made. Can I tell you something? As we look through the book of Hebrews, we come to understand this fully. God is not a man that he should lie. There's an oath and a covenant and a promise that God has made. He reiterates that in the book of Hebrews. It's actually reiterated right here. We'll see this in a moment here in Luke, the first chapter. Another promise that was given was a forerunner. And notice this, if you will, in verses 24 and 25 back in Acts 13. When John had preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, who think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Now, here's another promise that God made to the people of Israel. They promised a seed through the royal line of David. He also promised a forerunner to go before the one who would come, the fulfillment of God's promise to David. Now, where do we find that? Go back to Isaiah chapter 40, the 40th chapter of Isaiah. I want you to look at verses 3 through 5. Isaiah chapter 40, begin in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. He also speaks about John in the book of Malachi. And you see these different references to the coming of the forerunner of Christ, who would prepare the way before the Lord Jesus. And as Jesus ministered to the apostles, he told them, the one that you call Elijah is actually John the Baptist. The forerunner is actually John the Baptist. He's the one that God promised would come. Another promise fulfilled. And he injects that into this argument. That's exactly what Paul is doing. He's presenting an argument through preaching, but he's presenting an argument as to why they should believe in Jesus of Nazareth. He is a descendant of David. He is of the royal line. He was promised by God. There was a promise of a forerunner to go before him and make the crooked straight and everything prepared for his way. All these things are being fulfilled. We see that. Go back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and look at verse 6. Mark chapter 1 and verse 6. In Mark chapter 1, verse 6, it says, And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Of course, we see the ministry of John, again, speaking about this forerunner who should come. In John chapter 1, verse 23, speaks about John. And I think it's him speaking. He says, He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now, you're standing in the synagogue. You are making the argument about this man named Jesus of Nazareth as being the promised seed, being the Messiah that they've been waiting for. And he begins to lay out Old Testament passages. Now, I don't know how well-versed all those in that synagogue were, but certainly that rabbi, those who were considered leadership within that synagogue, knew the scripture well enough that it began to stir their thoughts and their hearts. I can't say that about the whole entire congregation of Jewish people within that synagogue, but certainly there were people there who were beginning to consider. Because when you go through the remainder of this chapter, that's exactly what happens. They say, we want to hear you again. We want to hear this again. Our missionary down in Sao Paulo, Brazil, Dolores Woods, has told us, in the synagogues in Sao Paulo, they never will read Isaiah 53. They always bypass it because it would stir the hearts of Jewish people to consider Jesus of Nazareth as actually having been the Messiah and having actually have come. They bypass it. They don't want people to hear it. Here, they are hearing something that they probably have not much considered before. And now they are. So there's a promised seed. There's a promised forerunner that's mentioned here in Paul's argument, in his message to these Jewish people in the synagogue. And then you'll notice, beginning in verse 26, another promise that's mentioned is the promise of salvation. Yes. What's the point of a Savior? What's the point of a Messiah if he hasn't come to save? Is that not what the Jews cried out on Palm Sunday? Oh, save.
Yes.
Oh, save. Now, we understand what most of those meant was save us from Rome. Save us from this tyranny. Save us from being dominated by first the Babylonians and then the Persians and then the Greeks and now the Romans. We're tired of this. We want to be the head and not the tail. You know, save us from this. That's actually what he did come to do. Got to save this first.
Amen.
Before you can save that.
Praise you, Lord.
And he came to do exactly that. So in verse 26, the argument is given through preaching about the promised Savior. So in verse 26, you hear this. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which, now this is interesting. I got this underlined in my Bible, and I'd encourage you to do the same. They knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. And I got to thinking about that. How can you hear this word taught, preached, every Sabbath day, the equivalent of every Sunday, hearing the gospel preached, and they never believed it. They never believed it. Never registered. Again, as we saw Sunday night, about Noah, about Abel, about Enoch, and as we continue to look at the Hall of Faith, you cannot please God unless you believe him.
Amen.
And if God gave you a promise, God's going to fulfill it. There should not have been a Jew that rejected Jesus Christ. They heard it Sabbath day after Sabbath day, but as Jesus said, they were dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing. I worry sometimes. I hope this isn't true of you, but I worry sometimes that people walk into this place and they're dull of hearing. We just go through the motions. That can be true of me. It could be true of any of us tonight that we come here and we fulfill our responsibility to be in God's house, but we're really not listening. Oh man, when you walk in this place, listen. It doesn't matter who the teacher or preacher is. Listen. Ask God to teach you.
Amen.
You notice here, let's just read further in this, verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen of many, many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. We'll pause there. Promised seed of David, the promised forerunner to announce his coming and his ministry, and the promise of salvation. So he lays out this argument. He begins by going back through the history, and all the Jews are saying, yes, yes, we agree with that. Yes, he brought us out of Egypt. Yes, he brought us through the wilderness. Yes, he gave us the land of Canaan. Yes, he gave us the judges. Yes, he gave us the kings. Oh, yes, David is our hero. Well, that hero, God promised him a seed that would rule forever and ever. A savior that would come from that seed. And he's just blunt. And it's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. The one that was crucified. He's the one. He tells about the promise of salvation. And that's the promise the Jews said that they wanted. This is interesting. Go back to Luke chapter 1 again. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 68. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. This is Zacharias speaking, Elizabeth's husband. Of course, Elizabeth is the older cousin of Mary. And this is what he said. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Now listen to this verse. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That passage mentions the promise, the covenant, and the oath. And you go back to Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is, and it refers to the promise and the oath, and later on the covenant. That God has given you his word, and God does not lie. And every Jew that sat in that synagogue that day, in hearing that God had fulfilled his promise, just like one of their other heroes, Zacharias, had spoken, the man who went in and lit the candles and dealt with the incense in the temple of Herod there in Jerusalem prior to Jesus' birth, prior to John's birth. That man proclaimed, this is what God's promises, and God is sending it to us. There should have been no reason why not every Jew came to the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But they didn't. When you go back to Acts chapter 14, you find out as you read through the rest of this chapter, while some of them were saved, many of them rejected the truth. God has given you and me the very same promises that he gave to the people of Israel.
Yes, sir.
God's promised us a seed. And that seed is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God gave us the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John, to proclaim that message of salvation, just like Zacharias spoke of in Luke chapter 1. We've had lots of forerunners before us that have been faithfully preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. God said, I promised it to you. I promised you a Savior. I promised I would send you the message of salvation. The promise of salvation itself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what happens? It's that simple.
Amen.
Just believe him. Just believe him. Believe what he said. Why is that so hard for people? I need to ask myself that question. Because while I have put my trust in Jesus Christ, I find myself at God's promises sometimes just questioning and doubting.
Yes, sir.
God has promised us things, thousands of promises. Yet, I guess in reality, I'm no different from these people, doubting it. But it doesn't have to stay that way. Now, I don't know where you are at in your personal walk with the Lord tonight, no more than you know where I'm at in my personal walk. We can all put on airs, can't we?
Yes, sir.
God knows. God knows my heart. God knows your heart. As I stand here and you sit there, I just want you to think back for a moment. Do I really believe God? Just as he lists these promises to present this argument that Jesus of Nazareth is the true Messiah and he is worthy to be followed, he is worthy to be your Savior, we don't struggle with that anymore. That we have settled. But do we go beyond the moment of our salvation and believe the scores and scores of promises that our Savior has given us for this life to work in our lives now? Do we believe him? Do we accept what he says? Or are we like many of these Jews who heard the Apostle Paul and then would drive him away, would reject what he said? I got a responsibility, and my responsibility is to believe God.
Yes, sir.
In this passage, you hear those words, the promise which was made, God hath fulfilled. The promise which was made, God hath fulfilled. Maybe right now you're thinking of some promise. Whatever it may be. Do you look at it from that standpoint that God has already fulfilled it? And it's just a matter of me receiving it and believing it. I hope that'll be an encouragement to you tonight to simply believe God. Now, I'm not standing here like Paul preaching a salvation message because that's not an issue for you. At least I don't think it is. But it is an issue for me and maybe you sometimes just accepting what God has said and resting on his promises. You know, we sing the song, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. Are we? Do we believe him? Do you believe him tonight? So we're going to stop there tonight. We'll pick back up. We'll look thoroughly at verses 32 and 33 next week. But promises. Promises of God.
Yes.
Just believing him. Just resting in him. And I hope that it will be true for you. So as you go to prayer tonight, this is what I want you to do. I know we got a bunch of prayer requests, and we'll take some requests here in just a minute. Why don't you just take the time? Maybe there's some special things you need to pray and ask God for tonight, and that's good. But just go before God tonight and let him know, God, I believe. But help thou mine unbelief. God, strengthen my belief. God, help me to grow through your word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God, help me to believe your word and rest on you. Let God show himself.
Amen.
Let him prove himself to you as he desires to do. So trust that you'll consider that tonight when you go to prayer. The prayer list that we have tonight is the missionary portion to our separate prayer list. Now we just put each Wednesday night a different aspect of the prayer list on this. So, of course, we mentioned some of our missionaries already. Are there any special requests that you need to add tonight? Any updates on anybody tonight? Okay. All right.
Went to see Pastor John Freeman today. He's really on my heart, just asking to continue to pray for healing. We're seeing some improvement in his speech. It's slight, but clearly he has understanding when I talk to him, and that's encouraging to me.
Yes.
It's a long way from the first time you and I visited. I didn't think he understood much of anything. And he's saying more words. I met the speech therapist today, talked to her. There's some measurable progress, so that's encouraging, but a long way to go, and he's discouraged about being there. So just pray God continue to give him strength.
Amen.
Some way to find it possible for him to make it home.
Believe in the impossible. That's what we're asking God to do.
Yes, sir.
And that would be a miracle.
Amen.
For what's happened to him. Keep remembering the Zorich family, Chris and Janet and Greg and Mr. and Mrs. Zorick and the loss of their sister-in-law, daughter-in-law. The husband's name is Brad. That's their older brother. So pray for him, not only for his grief, but also for his salvation. Heather, you had your hand up. Drina. Okay.
And then James Knox, who's also a preacher and been in the ministry for many years, who just found out he's got stage 4 cancer that's probably spread into his bones and lungs and things. James Knox.
All right. Pastor James Knox.
And I want to just ask prayer for a lady named Sheila for salvation.
Sheila.
Say much about it. And last week I said, Lord, you know, I'm prepared to speak to her very clearly today if you will give me the opening. And we talked some, and then I started cleaning the house, and she walked into the room and she took a cup of tea, and she never does anything like that. And I said,
praise the Lord. That's good.
And so I got a chance to witness to her a lot, but she, you know, I asked if there was any time where she had, you know, realized she was a sinner on the way to hell and asked Jesus Christ to save her. And she said, oh, no, I don't believe in hell. We went round and round on that. And I don't know. I'm just hoping what's working on her.
Word of God works, penetrates. So, Joan?
Where is the Zorick family? Are they local?
It was in Fairview, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Fairview. Farmington, Fairview, just in Marion County.
Because we've been watching for her obituary.
There is none. They've chosen not to do any of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it would be nice if you think about it. There'll be no funeral, no calling hours, nothing. So if you think about it, maybe to Jim and Doris or Chris and his family or Greg, if you want to drop them a card, that'd be great. But they've chosen not to do any of that. So, Debbie, what's the lady's name at your work that?
Terry.
What was that?
Terry.
So, if you would, for Terry, the Lord's given Debbie some opportunities there. So, pray for Terry's salvation.
Terry.
Works with Debbie at Goodwill. John?
I've seen on Facebook this afternoon that Sunny Bethel's sister passed away.
Oh, really? She had cancer, didn't she? All right, so we prayed for her for a long time, didn't we? All right, so remember Sonny, Pethel, and Jackie, and the loss of Sonny's sister then? Okay, all right. Don?
Mary Ingers and Morgan Townsend, that Washington put in Monday.
Say it a little bit louder.
Mary Ingers to have Watchman put in Monday.
So you have the pacemaker put on Monday?
No, the Watchman is different than the pacemaker. It's a procedure where they go in and keep blood clots from coming out of the heart and then take her off the blood with the vest.
Okay, so that's Monday.
That's the Monday, yeah.
Okay, where are they doing that, Ruby?
Morgantown.
Okay. Is that Ruby or Mon? Ruby or Mon?
Ruby,
okay. All right, so pray for Marianne on Monday then. All right. She's old hat at this now. I think she has surgeries because she likes surgeries, I think.
She has zippers.
Yeah. Just keep praying for Marianne. He's brought her through a lot, and trust her for this. Trust him for this too. I guess Diane Smith texted me today. I guess Smitty and Jim Mondick were able to speak, and I have his relatives have been contacting me and letting me have updates. Jim told Smitty that he was under the knife for 11 and a half hours. So I don't know if he misunderstood that, but that's a long, long surgery, 11 and a half hours. But he is doing well, but he'll be down in Florida for at least a couple months in recovery. So keep praying for Jim Mondick with that. All right, anything else?
Kim? I actually had a friend that passed away today, Amanda Book, from cancer. She's probably only 41 years old, from the Shinston area, and she's got four or five girls, like a little teenage, maybe a little older, but she passed away. She's had it for a couple years.
Okay, so.
Say,
all right, so pray for the Book family in her loss. You heard today what happened in Winder, Georgia, with four students killed. It's pretty close to where my sister Jill lives. So it's a lot of hurting families. The last I heard, there was like 30 wounded. I don't know if that's changed or what. So that's all I know. I'm sure that's all you guys know. So just pray God will intervene in that as well. All right, we'll go ahead and go to prayer tonight. Can I encourage you once in a while, just pray with somebody different? It's fine to pray by yourself if you want to, but it's nice sometimes to pair up with somebody. And so I encourage you to do that. All right, we'll go to prayer tonight.